Decade after decade after decade, most dentists just do not change their methods. Why? Well, why are most dentists content with letting you get repeated cavities? And why are they content with multiple crowns that lead to multiple root canals? This should not be the norm. And that's why the Dr. Shoup Show exists. We're reversing traditional thinking with microscopic methods and advanced biomimetic practices. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show, presented by Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. We're online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup. I just want to be wanted. Oh, I could
use a little love sometimes. I just need to be needed. Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for deciding to spend another hour with me. This is where you come to become smarter, better educated, a more informed medical, dental, health, wellness, nutrition expert in your own right. Congratulations. And we are rolling in not only to the end of the year, but to the end of the decade. Do you know how long it's been you and I have been together? Over a decade. It is really a proud thing that you and I have had that opportunity to spend together. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a great audience, great listeners. You are truly the cream of the crop when it comes to knowledgeable folks that really tune in and make this all happen. You know how it works. We begin in Dental School 101. There is a massive, huge new study on how bacteria are promiscuous little rascals and they sleep around all over the place. You're going to get to the bottom of this when we talk about it. And in Ask the Expert, I'm going to tell you how one food that has never been associated with strength or exercise, unheralded, an unsung consumable, but it is a huge player in how healthy your body is. You and I have not actually really talked about it yet. I'm going to tell you all about it today. And you get to meet my good friend Valerie. Valerie is a radio show listener. She has had a long and sad history with her teeth. She has decided she is going to make a plan, and she has decided that now is her time. She's going to tell you what tipped the scales for her and what we've been doing just beginning her dental journey. But first, you know, you and I have, we have as a society, as a world, amazing, sophisticated, detailed instruments. We can look down inside the very cellular nature of your body. And science has found another tool that not only lets us look deep inside the human body, but deep inside the human body from thousands of years ago. It's called chewing gum. I'll tell you all about it right now.
Note to self.
Time to go under the microscope.
Please make a note of it.
Well, there are a few articles that come across my desk that I look at and I shake my head and kind of do a double take, and I did that exactly with this one, but I told myself there is no way that we can go without talking about this on the radio. Actually, it kind of is a throwback to some things you and I have talked about on several occasions from a long time ago, but this is just too rich to pass up. Researchers from the University of Copenhagen have succeeded in extracting a complete human genome from a thousands of years old wad of chewing gum. This is according to the researchers. They have found an absolutely untapped source of pristine DNA. Here's how they did it. During excavations on lowland, archaeologists have found a 5,700-year-old type of chewing gum made from birch pitch. That's from a birch tree, the sap of a birch tree. In a new study, researchers from the University of Copenhagen succeeded in extracting a complete ancient human genome from this wad of chewing gum. It is the first time that an entire ancient human genome has ever been extracted from anything other than human bones. You remember they dug up Mutsi a long time ago, the Iceman that was frozen in the glacier, and because of global warming, the glacier had melted away and his whole body was unearthed. And certainly he had easily genetic material that was available. He was only about 1,500 to 2,000 years old, and we're looking at 5,700-year-old chewing gum. It is amazing to have gotten a complete ancient human genome from anything other than bones, says the associate professor Hans Schroeder from the Globe Institute in the University of Copenhagen, who led all of this research. What is more, we also retrieved DNA from oral microbes and several important human pathogens. This very valuable source of ancient DNA, especially for time periods we have no human remains. That's the problem. See, we have from long ago, all of the tissue is gone. The only thing we have is bones. Now, they aren't completely petrified. They're not locked in stone like dinosaur bones are. These are still bones that are in the earth, but these bones have been, the marrow spaces of these bones have been so deteriorated over time, you can't really reach anything usable until now. Birch pitch was found during archaeological excavations in a place in southern Denmark. The excavations were being carried by this museum in connection with their whole anthropological programs that they have. This particular location is completely unique. Almost everything is sealed in mud, which means that the preservation of organic remains is absolutely phenomenal, says the project director. It is the biggest Stone Age site in Denmark, and the archaeological finds suggest that people who occupied the site were heavily exploiting wild resources well into the Neolithic period, which is the period when farming and domesticated animals was first introduced into southern Scandinavia. They also found traces of DNA indicating that this person had actually just eaten hazelnuts and duck. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about this birch pitch. It is a brown-black substance that is produced by heating birch bark. It was commonly used in prehistoric times for hanging on bits and pieces of leather and strap onto stone tools. It was, in essence, the first gorilla glue. The earliest known use of this pitch dates back clear into the Paleolithic period. Pieces of this pitch are often found with tooth imprints, suggesting that they were chewed, and it may be part of the process of getting this stuff ready to glue because it comes off after it cools as really hard, but if you chew this material, it softens up again and becomes very sticky. For one example, one theory suggests that this stuff could have been used to relieve toothaches or actually as an ailment because there are some mild analgesic properties to it. It could also have been used to suppress hunger, and it could simply be simply fun chewing gum. They were also able to identify the person chewing this gum was actually female, had probably dark complexion, dark hair, and blue eyes. They can be that specific. So, the newest, greatest invention in terms of scientific technology is chewing gum. Why don't we sing that song, "Does Your Chewing Gum Lose Its Flavor on the Bedpost Overnight?" What an appropriate place that to be. Now, up next, a huge new study on how bacteria become hyperpathologic simply because they're sleeping with other bacteria. I'll tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com.
You are now about to enter.
Now about to enter.
It's time to enter Dental School 101.
Enter now.
You think this class may be simple, but we go deeper with the knowledge and research every week to teach you and grow you into the best dental consumer you can be. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
I can only use what I learned from you, and the rest I quietly.
Well, it is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And like I said, we find some really unusual and strange behaviors when we look through the animal world. And you need look no further than your own mouth. There is a new huge study out from the Georgia Institute of Technology, and they've discovered something that nobody ever knew before, and this is going to change a lot about how we look at particular pathologic conditions. The one we're talking about today is periodontal disease, gum disease, pyrrhea. You and I have talked about it numerous times, and we know that it is the creation of two or three main really nasty pathologic bacteria that start to take up residence in your mouth, down under your gums for the bottom teeth and up under your gums for the top teeth. And these bacteria are really good at multiplying and giving off toxins that really set your immune system on fire. And as your immune system reacts to these bacteria that are underneath your gums, it sets off all of your body's systems to kill them. It sets off white blood cells, and it sets off all kinds of immunoglobulins, and it floods your gums with all of these soldiers trying to kill off all of these pathologic bacteria. And that's where the redness comes in, and the swelling comes in, and the bleeding comes in, because our bodies are designed to kill these guys off. And it's kind of a slash and burn thing. Your body doesn't care what it's going to tear up, but it knows it needs to tear up these bacteria. So it starts destroying your own tissue. As this inflammation soaks in, the bone around your teeth looks at this huge battle going on and goes, you know, I don't need any part of this. I'm out of here. And so the bone around your teeth starts melting away, and it goes down on the bottom teeth and up on the top teeth. You and I have tracked this before. We understand about the bone loss and the inflammation. What we didn't understand, and what is brand new, is that we were laboring under a misconception. And the misconception was what exactly these folks at the Georgia Institute of Technology have discovered, in that we believed that when you get these bacteria in your mouth, they all live together in what are called biofilms. You and I have talked about this as well. And we also believed that the pathology of these bacteria was because all of these bacteria in the biofilm were all sleeping together. They're all swapping partners. They're all deviants. They're all horrible. And they're swapping a whole bunch of DNA back and forth. And so if one bad actor gets in there, he starts making all the other ones bad actors, and then it goes rampant and it all runs amok. That's what we thought. We were wrong. Wrong as wrong can be. And what these experimenters did was they took one of the particular periodontal disease-causing bacteria, Aggregatibacter actinomycetum comitans. Yes, those are actually, that's the name of one specific bacteria. Aggregatibacter actinomycetum comitans. That is the name. We all call it AA for short. Guess why? Nobody can pronounce it twice correctly in any sort of a lecture, so we all call it AA. It is one of the main offenders. So they isolated a whole bunch of these AA bacteria and said, look, if we make these little guys live on their own, are they bad apples by themselves, or are they only bad apples when they're mixed with somebody else? And what we found out was they don't live by themselves worth a diddly darn. What they found out was that when you put them in with any other particular and one other bacteria at a time, they tested this, come to find out these bacteria have to have mates, have to have friends, have to have confederates that give them DNA because their own DNA is missing. And guess what? The DNA that they like the best, the bacteria that they enjoy the company of the most, is not the bacteria within that biofilm that are all there. It's not like in your neighborhood where you would think you would be really well associated with, you would like, you would be in sync and cahoots with all of your neighbors in your neighborhood. No, these bacteria like much, much better folks from way across town. Entirely different bacteria. And so they mix them up with actually fungus and dirt bacteria. They mix these AA bacteria with bacteria from the colon, pretty far removed from your mouth, right? And these AA bacteria got along better, survived better, and became friendlier if you mix them with somebody else's bacteria. But if you put them back in the bacteria, in the biofilm that they came from, they absorbed the DNA from these guys and they got all pathologic again. So what we discovered was it's not the fact that these bacteria are all similar. It's because these bacteria are lacking particular strands of DNA in their system. So like many bacteria known for infections, like strep, for example, AA often live peacefully in the mouth, and in certain circumstances, it turns them into being infectious. And this is what we never knew. We didn't know that they could be okay. We always thought they were going to be mean. They were born mean. They were designed mean. Their parents were mean. Their grandparents were pathologic. That's all there is to it. So when this AA bacteria was by itself, it needed a certain set of genes in order to survive. It wasn't complete. So like for breathing oxygen, as a matter of fact, a lot of these bacteria are what we call aerobic. They breathe oxygen just like you and I breathe oxygen. So it was striking then when they looked at this and they found that the AA bacteria, that if it normally didn't live around, no longer needed a lot of its own genes. When it went out and they mixed it with all these foreign bacteria, okay, the other microbes readily gave the AA bacteria what it needed, so it didn't have to make its own microbial soup by itself. The interactions between usual neighbors, okay, it looked more frugal. They were not needing each other. They were not codependent all over the place, and they weren't pathologic. So this has given us an entirely new strategy, okay, on how to start combating these periodontal diseases. It was amazing. So as the AA bacteria surviving with more and more broken pieces meant that its partner microbe was giving it more and more assistance. So the AA bacteria with a broken gene that a partner could not repair was likely to die, therefore reducing its count. So we found out that the AA bacteria, these bacteria in these biofilms, are all incredibly lacking large chunks of what they need in order to survive because they're getting it from all the other microbes in this close proximity. They don't like it, but it makes them angry. So sleeping with all the neighbors really honked them off. If you take them out and put them with foreign bacteria, the foreign bacteria looks at them and goes, hey, here's what you need to survive. You can have one. And they live, but they're not pathologic. It really changes everything. So it gives us a new strategy on how to introduce bacteria into this mix so that these bacteria wind up calming down and settling themselves down. It is an entirely new way of looking at the entire whole realm of bacterial infections in the human body. Fascinating stuff. I knew you'd enjoy it. I enjoyed it too. Now, up next, a food not associated with strength or exercise, unheralded and unsung, but I'm telling you, after you hear about it, it's going to be one of your favorites. I'm going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. A doctor that truly cares about having a relationship with you. A doctor who provides one of the most thorough initial dental exams and most thorough initial conversations with you that stands apart in today's industry. Plus, his goal is to do a procedure once, not over and over, to keep billing you. That's the mission of Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. Teeth preservation while saving you cash. We're online at ddsradio.com. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup. I walked a mile in your shoes.
Well, it is so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And as I told you, I'm going to share with you a very unsung hero in the food department. This food, for example, what if I told you that there was a groundbreaking new tool to help you lose weight? You could reduce how bloated you feel. You could fight cancer and your energy, all for just about 19 cents a piece, and it comes with its own frasco. Disappointed and expect something bigger and fancier. This humble fruit, correction. Actually, botanically, it's a berry. A banana is a berry. It's not actually a fruit. It is the least heralded supermarket staple superfood that you can get. Sure, everybody thinks of it, you know, monkeys and eating bananas and slipping on a banana peel, all that sort of stuff. But it has proven to be one of the most power-packed berries. We call it fruit. We'll call it fruit for convenience sake today. One of the most power-packed foods that you can get. Here's the other thing. When you go to the grocery store and start picking out your bananas, quit picking out the perfect ones. Stop selecting the ones that are really, really, really green. Because you hate it if they turn ripe. You hate it if they have even the first most minuscule, teeny tiny, itsy bitsy little brown speck on it. Stop that nonsense. Because the more ripe the banana, the more nutrition it has. Get over it. When a banana is green, it has not developed all of the vitamins and minerals that you expect when you eat it. Get over the fact that it's going to have brown pieces on it. Get over it. Eat it. It's fine. There's nothing in the world wrong with it. I always go into the grocery store, and they've always got this row, the row after row after row, these nice little bunches of bananas, and they are as green as the AstroTurf on a football field. And those are the worst, and everybody's lining up and fighting to buy them. And then about halfway down the shelf, the collection there, they got some that are yellow, and then way down at the end, they've got these poor little orphan rejected bananas, and they're all by themselves. They're just one or two, and they've got brown spots on them. Guess where Uncle Randy is? I'm down at that end buying those bananas, because what everybody else doesn't know is I'm getting a heck of a lot more nutrition from the brown, ugly ones than you are from the pretty green ones that don't have any brown spots at all. I hate that. So get over it. Now let's figure out together what bananas can do for you. Number one, I told you that they are an absolute wonder in terms of exercise and physiology. And here's why. If you want to help your muscle contraction, if you want to help recuperate from a workout, you need magnesium. Magnesium, everybody thinks about potassium coming from a banana. Great, it's true. But if you want true muscle health recovery, here's what you do. You take one of my ugly orphan bananas from way down at the end. You cut off both ends, you cut the skin through so that it exposes some of the banana on the inside. You take that banana, peel and all, and you immerse it in some boiling water for about 6 minutes, and you make hot banana tea. You get rid of the banana. You just drain off the water just like you're making tea. You drink a cup of that boiled banana tea, and it is packed with magnesium. The magnesium then goes in and helps you with your muscle recovery after exercise. Nobody told you these things. This is why you listen to me. This is why you come. A 19-cent brown, ugly banana is going to help you recover from your exercises. And we know that bananas are certainly an absolutely prime source of potassium. And so in the electrolytes of magnesium and potassium are absolutely positively indispensable in strength training, in exercise endurance, and in exercise recovery. So there is what you do. You take this banana. You've never known that you're supposed to make tea. Leave the skin on. And don't do it with one of the green ones. You're just wasting your time. Go way down where I am, get one of the ugly ones that looks like it's been beat up. That's what you want to make your stuff with. Vitamins can also help you smile because they have vitamin B9, also known as folate, that fights depression by boosting a substrate in your antidepressive properties called NIH. In other words, it helps serotonin, the feel-good chemical in your body, okay? And actually, people on average get 25% lower scores on depression if they simply start eating bananas than doing anything else. It can also help reduce anxiety and stress. Besides mood, B9 bananas also have tryptophan in them, which is another precursor for serotonin. And they also have norepinephrine in them, which regulates your fight or flight response and deregulates your fight or flight response, so you are not so anxious, you're not ready to rip somebody's head off all the time. If you eat a banana before bed, it'll help you sleep because in the banana, along with the tryptophan, is also a precursor for melatonin. So melatonin won't make you sleep. Melatonin is that thing that helps initiate you to get ready to go to sleep. Bananas are phenomenal in terms of helping you regulate blood pressure, okay? It lowers blood pressure and protects you against heart attack and stroke. If you get bloated, if you have belly, I don't care how many crunches you do, I don't care how wonderful of a washboard six-pack you have, but if you are bloated, okay, it makes you feel like you've just eaten a bag of Cheetos and a six-pack of Coors Light. It can reduce belly bloat by almost 50%. because it reduces down your fluid retention. It helps you go pee. So there you have. It also can help you reduce bad cholesterol, all right? Because bad cholesterol is from all of the trans fats that you eat, okay? And in a banana is called phytoesterols. You and I have talked about this before. Bananas have really, really ripe bananas have lots of phytoesterols, which are compounds that have an LDL cholesterol. That's the lousy L, lousy, as opposed to HDL, healthy, lousy cholesterol lowering effect. So it scavenges off the LDL. It'll help boost your digestive system, okay? And it will also help you form regular bowel habits. And it is an absolutely great source of just pure energy, because the riper the banana gets, the more it's converting over from its cellulose base to sugar. So you get the brown spots inside of a banana, on the meat of a banana, actually have the highest sugar content of anything. And it also supports eye health, because it can repair, the antioxidants in bananas can repair cellular damage associated with macular degeneration. So there you have it. Simple, easy, portable. The banana is what you want to start eating in 2020. It gives you 20/20 vision. Up next, you get to meet my good friend Valerie. Dentist after dentist told her it's time to get dentures. But did she really need them? She'll tell you no after she met me.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. He's unlike anyone else in the United States of America when it comes to microscopic dentistry diligence while caring about your whole mouth and whole body health. His offices are located right here in Indianapolis. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show, presented by Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
1 foot in front of the other.
Well, it is so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And if you are any listener at all, you know that I consider this one of my favorite parts of the entire program. I get to bring to you friends of mine that we have up at the office, and you get to hear their story. And we have with us today Valerie. Valerie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. All of your holiday preparations are ready to go, right, kiddo? You're just sitting back, just waiting for Santa to show up, right?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I hate you. No, I'm the guy out there on Christmas Eve running up and down the mall going, does anybody have anything left? That's me. I'm out there. There's always five of us, and we know each other at this stage of the game. It's terrible. No, congratulations. Well done. Well, I was telling everybody that you actually are one of these great people that listened to the program, and you decided to give us a call. Tell everybody, if you would, please. You called the office after hearing me on the radio. What was there about what I said on the radio or what you heard that motivated you to give me a call?
That I wouldn't have to get dentures or implants, that you could repair my actual teeth.
And you, I take it, had some worries about that.
Yes. Major worries.
Major worries. because you actually had some people tell you that dentures might be in your future.
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
Not very good.
Well, I wouldn't either. I think that would be horrible. So, yes, we got together, we looked things over, and so tell everybody, what kind of a game plan did you and I come up with?
Getting my gums into their healthy state.
Sure.
And repairing any damages.
So we were going to be able to actually take your existing teeth that a lot of other people had told you were shot, hopeless, there's no point, why don't you just part company with them and get, you know, plastic ones that you can carry in your pocket? That didn't seem like a good plan to you.
No. It sounds like too much of a hassle.
Exactly. But we did, there is some fairly significant kind of, how shall we say, rebuilding to do. And those included root canals, and you've gotten started on that process. How has that gone?
So far I've gotten the one root canal out of the two that I needed.
Yep.
And the root canal, when you first told me, I was scared, but it went very smoothly.
Yeah, we send everybody over to Dr. Nasser, Tom Nasser, who is a root canal specialist, and I warn everybody before we send you over there, you'll actually meet Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. He is Sheldon. He is just fanatical. He's brilliant. He's driven. He is just so absolutely perfectionist about doing root canals, but you have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth. You have no idea what he's going to say.
That's for sure.
See, I told you. But I always warn people. So that experience for you was okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So now you're coming back, and what's our next phase that you're into now?
I can't remember. I know we got the tooth, finally, the one that he did the root canal, we got that repaired.
Right.
And
you're going to be wearing your coif thing now.
Yes, I'm wearing my coif.
Because see, what happens, like with you, what happens is, over time, if your teeth kind of tend to break down, your bite shifts. And so I can't be sure that the way you actually close your teeth together is actually the right way to do it. So Valerie is wearing a gadget. Tell everybody what it's like to wear that. Is how big?
It's kind of like wearing a retainer, but without the metal bracket across it.
Exactly. So it's real small. It's dainty. It fits on the top. You really don't have to fuss with it, but it allows me to determine really, truly what is your proper, actual, exact bite position, so that as we put things back together, we make the bite consistent with where your jaw joints want to be, and so that's going great. So, but I want to go back for just a second, because when I was talking about, and when you were talking on the phone with Angela was, who is my health relationship coordinator, Angela was very impressed by you, because before we talked treatment, before we decided anything, before we knew what we were going to do, when you showed up at the office, you already had a plan on how you were going to take care of this. Tell everybody how you figured that out.
oh, goodness. I forgot.
Well, no, because Angela was impressed that when you walked in there, you sat down with her to start actually the beginning of the conversation, and you already said, I've got a plan. I've figured out how to pay for it. I know what I want to have done.
Yes.
How did you do that?
Me and my husband sat down, and because I had so much pain with my mouth, and going to other dentists and them filling them, and then the fillings falling out because they're not properly filled, we were spending so much money.
Sure.
So I just stopped going to the dentist, and because it hurt so much going there, and I didn't care for dentists until I met you guys.
Well, thank you.
but me and my husband sat down and said, you know, we'll figure it out. So we put a certain amount of money in the account every month towards my dental repair.
And
a little bit from each paycheck.
Perfect.
And with you guys, you know, giving me the payment option, it made it so much easier.
Well, yeah, that's. I mean, most people think that they have to just have it all at once up front and everything, and you don't. You can do like you're doing. You make a plan. You budget it. We work with you to make your budget work for whatever you want. And so Angela was just incredibly impressed because you were light years ahead of most folks that come in because you'd already had this figured out.
Having my mouth back and not being in pain and being able to smile at people, that's one of my biggest goals, because your smile is the first thing people see. So it's like the most important thing.
True.
In my eyes.
Well, no. You're true, and what you are saying is exactly what science backs up in terms of when people meet you and they see you smile, they make massive amounts of judgments about you, about your education, about how clean you are, about a whole bunch of things unrelated to teeth, but they make these societal assumptions about you. And you're right. If you don't show a nice smile, they think negatively about you. And so you didn't want any of that stuff.
No, because I've been, past judgment my whole life because, the way my mouth looks. And I'm a really nice, down-to-earth person, but most people don't see that because when I smile, they see the mess in my mouth.
Well, sure.
They either think, I'm poor or I'm a drug addict, and I just, have issues with my mouth.
I hear a lot of kind of being ashamed in your voice. I hear a lot of regret, and I really want to tell you how much I apologize on behalf of dentistry that we've let you down up to this point. And I really feel a huge sense and a responsibility to be different for you, to make it better.
You already have, Dr. Shoup.
Well, kiddo, it'll be fun for us to have a really cool journey together. I really appreciate you sharing your story on the radio with the other listeners. Hopefully, maybe there's somebody out there, maybe for New Year's, they'll decide, I kind of want a really beautiful smile like Valerie's going to get. And you helped them.
That'd be an awesome New Year's resolution.
Wouldn't it, though? I appreciate it. Hey, Valerie, you have been more than wonderful. I really appreciate your time, even though, yes, you've got all your Christmas stuff done, and sure, fine, I don't, but that's okay. No, but you...
Hey, I still got to work.
Well, I'm here. I'm working. I'm here. What am I doing? No, kiddo. Thank you very, very much. I'll see you right after the holidays, and I can't tell you how proud I am of you. You are just awesome.
Thank you. You're awesome too.
All right. Thanks, kiddo. I'll talk to you later.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Well, there you have it, and I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. This is our last program of 2019, and we will be heading into 2020. Before we go any further, I want to tell you how much I value, appreciate, and this program would be a mere shadow of itself if it were not for my absolutely amazing producer, Jacob. You get to hear him every once in a while in my commercials when you call into the program. He's the guy we talk to, but he is the person that gives this show all the class, the absolutely professional sound and look that you get to see every day. So it would be remiss of me if I did not take some time to thank Jacob, because he is really, really the guy. He is the wizard behind the curtain. So until you and I have a chance to chat again next time in 2020, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling, baby, the whole